And welcome to the Glacially Musical Podcast. It is beer, metal, and swearing. Of course, I am Nick Cameron of Glacially Musical, the former and failed musical revolutionary blog that had no revolutions. I am joined by my good friend, a man who's always sweet as sugar, a man that in Hershey, Pennsylvania is delicious, but in Belgium is considered sour. Keefe Chocolate. How are we doing today, buddy?
I mean, what an introduction, considering my recent news and developments.
I apologize.
No, that's, you know, it's quite apropos. For those that don't know, I just did a whole spell in the hospital here in San Francisco. I'm okay today, but obviously I had to make some life changes. I was not taking good care of myself. I did a whole video on this over at the Ghost Cult channel if you want to hear more in detail. But I will not be beer checking for the foreseeable future, unfortunately. Cannot have beer right now. I have to get my sugar down and my weight under control and a whole lot of things. Please indulge and imbibe all you want, though.
I appreciate that. When I couldn't drink, you had one, so that is fair. I will do my beer check. This week, I am rocking some premium pills, some Czech. This is a Praga Czech. It was at Randall's, my local liquor store. It was about $7. Anybody guess? Can anybody guess what I'm pouring this into?
Looks like a pitcher.
You checking anything, or am I just drink? Am I just cheersing and drinking?
I'm gonna check every week with a seltzer. So this is my Trader Joe's sparkling raspberry and lime water. Cheers.
Cheers.
What? Why?
Okay, everybody, look at Nick. Look at Nick.
Well,
cheers.
This is also a podcast, so do you have to describe what you're drinking out of?
I am drinking my beer out of a 36-inch Stanley Cup, 3D printed, the St. Louis Blues logo. I was told you can drink beer out of this one time. One time. So, if you don't subscribe to us on YouTube, today's the day. Because I'm literally, look at me, I'm holding the bottom, I'm holding the base of the cup.
That's pretty great. Do you know the story about when the Stars won the Stanley Cup and they went to the Pantera house to party to Vinny's house? And, like, the cup was at the bottom of the pool and everybody drank Crown Royal out of it. And, you know, the Pantera Diamond Vinny wrote the We Are the Dallas Stars or whatever their theme song is.
I did not know that, but that is, like, the idea. Because I'm picturing Brett Hull, Mike Modano, Dimebag Darrell, and Vinny Paul all snorting coke together.
Absolutely. And less well-known, but also pretty decent, the Seven Dust has made a song for both the Atlanta hockey and football teams.
Did you know Mitch Hedberg did a Atlanta Thrashers ad campaign?
I did not know this.
I only found that out because of the Risk podcast. It was one of the greatest things I have ever heard. This dude basically wrote all these Mitch Hedberg jokes for Mitch Hedberg to do to Mitch. Because the Atlanta teams have never really taken off in hockey. Partially because they've always been terrible, and partially because it's not a hockey town. It's just not. But these ad campaigns were amazing. So anyway, thank you for joining us. We have sidebarred already. We're going to try to keep the sidebars to a minimum, because we are doing Dolly Parton's Rockstar, which does not allow for sidebars. It allows for fast forward, pay attention. In fact, don't even talk about every record, every song on the record, because there are 30 and there are about 48 guest stars on this album. We are talking about the Queen, Dolly Parton, again, Dolly Parton. But how we do is we do a greeting, a beverage check for the foreseeable future. Greeting, beverage, vinyl, news, meat. Oh, shirt check in there. Meat of the day again, Dolly Parton. If you don't mind, I'm just going to quickly pop out my vinyl check.
Please do so.
I'm dropping a twofer this week. First one is a Record Store Day release, as I am prone to do. I am totally content and totally happy to just always, I'm going to turn that a little bit, always happy to buy a Record Store Day release well after the fact when nobody cares. Case in point, also, if you want the Eric Carr Rockology picture disc, which I do not and I will not buy, I will not own, you can get it for like $15 because apparently everybody who bought the Eric Carr Rockology picture disc on Record Store Day is now selling it on Discogs. Happy hunting. What I have, however, is the Beastie Boys, Aglio e Olio. In 1995, when they were recording songs for Hello Nasty, they were throwing some punk songs on there. You may remember Remote Control and stuff like that. Well, the problem was is they wrote too many. So they dropped it on vinyl. I have a 2022, I believe, Record Store release. When they sold it originally, they only sold it for like $5 on vinyl because it was the 90s. And they were like, it's not very many songs, so... Sorry, I dropped the slip. Not very many songs, so we're not going to charge you a whole lot of money for it. And I mean, the Beastie Boys have always been very pro-vinyl. Mike D has a line on one of the songs on Ill Communication. Still listening to Wax. I'm not using the CD. And I'm like, you dumbass, in 1994, but here I am in 2024 trying to get all the Beastie Boys wax.
Fun two facts. One, I do believe you just did that album on the Department of Metal Antiquities, shameless plug.
That is correct. Duncan and I did that on our, Duncan and I's first episode back. We had to take a break as well.
And then I was in Trader Joe's the other night getting some low glycemic foods for my new lifestyle. And they had a jar of Aglio and Olio. And I was going to, I snapped the picture to send it to you, and I brain farted in the store and didn't send it, but I will send it.
That is awesome. And because Nick likes patterns, oh, by the way, I got that for about $15. There's plenty of them, it's not rare. The Beastie Boys love you. They are not trying to make $1,858 million per vinyl record. They keep repressing them, so they are available. They are there.
And because they don't want scarcity, they don't want to enable bad behavior.
Correct. As you may recall, the original two punk rock EPs, Polywog Stew and the Cookie Puss EP, were both repressed on vinyl and on CD in the 90s in order to combat scarcity. They said in the liner notes, these are too expensive for our fans they're too expensive. So here you go. Get it on us. And because I like buying vinyl records based on podcast episodes, former Glacially Musical podcast subject, Merciful Fate. In the Shadows, this is the Merciful Fate reunion record. This is the closest we ever got to a complete reformation of Merciful Fate. It is everyone but the drummer. It is a really cool, sorry about that, I bumped the microphone, really cool translucent blue smoke vinyl. This one I paid a little more than I would have liked. I dropped about $35 on it. But you know what? It has Lars Ulrich, the greatest goth metal drummer. Just dropped it on the floor. The greatest goth metal drummer of all time. And that is my vinyl check.
And major King Diamond stan and fan. If it was not for King Diamond, you might not have a Metallica.
I disagree. They met King Diamond and Merciful Fate while they were recording Ride the Lightning.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying Lars being a uber fan, being Danish like King Diamond, like, you know, it definitely played a part in his value system for heavy metal. There's no question. And even he knows about the band that King had before King Diamond and Merciful Fate. So, like, was a thing.
Yeah, so nobody else does. I've heard of it because I've read it on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. It's really, really bad. They can't all be Death Piggy, you know? I wonder what would have happened if Gore never happened. It was just Death Piggy. Where we would have Death Piggy had they made more music, you know?
Frankly, if I would have gotten I'm in Love with a Dead Dog by Death Piggy, I think I'd have been okay. I love that song. And you know what? Death Piggy was very much what Gwar Hello was.
Fair enough. I have a 1-4 today to check. I'm kind of trying to remember where I got it. This is Drain, probably one of the best hardcore records of 2023, Living Proof. Band is fantastic. Kind of a wasteful
fantastic double. But are they boombastic?
They are not Mr. Boombastic. Very kind of old school style kind of don't love the gatefold for no reason. It's only a single.
Thank you. Finally, you're on my side, and you didn't realize it.
I've kind of always been on your side about that. But great band. Definitely, again, I saw them for the first time ever. I had never seen them before. They were at Riot Fest, where I was. Fun fact, my Riot Fest interviews are finally running now from my birthday weekend in September. I just ran my interview with Code Orange, as well as Fake Names, which is a punk rock supergroup, who also played Riot Fest. So here's the drain already in the Mylar. I recently, before I was interred in the hospital, not interred, that's dead, before I went to the hospital, before I went to the ER, I spent
believe the word you were looking for was infirmed.
Infirm, that's correct, sorry. I'm a little foggy. I'm on a ton of meds. You have no idea the effect these meds are having on me. But one of the things I did was I spent an entire afternoon working on my Discogs and cleaning my vinyls and mylaring up my vinyls. So I think
Keithy,
I got...
look at me. Look at me.
Yes. Clap, clap, clap. Finally, getting caught up. I still have a ways to go to sort. I'm not buying anything new for a while. I still have like a whole surplus of stuff from 23, including this record. Here's the vinyl. I think I got this, I'm going to say, at Recycled Records in Reno on my Reno trip, and I just didn't check at that time. I think that's where I got it. Or it might have been Reckless Records in Chicago. I'm sorry, I'm a little fuzzy on that. This was $25, that I do know. Because I just, when I took it off the Mylar, it still had the tag on it. One of those things where the price tag is on the sleeve plastic, which I don't love. But anyway, that's my vinyl check. You know, glad to be back. Glad to have you back, sir.
I'm glad to be back. And I should mention the Beastie Boys record was purchased off of Discogs. I do not remember from whom I got it. The Merciful Fate record was purchased at Joe's Records STL, which I don't believe I took you to.
We did not go to Joe.
Joe's Records STL is a great record store if you're looking for new records. One of the amazing things about that particular place in St. Louis is it's not in St. Louis. It's actually in St. Louis County. It's in Melville. But they end up like the, remember when I checked Faith No More, Introduce Yourself? I bought that in like 22, I think, maybe 23. No, it was 22 because it was before I moved, and might have even been 21. Holy crap, Keithy, we've been doing this a long time. Anyway, so it was before I moved, and I remember my wife going, well, $30 for this? And I mean, I was happy. But it turned out it was a 2012 European pressing. So they just seem to come across these records. Quickly, we'll shirt check. I am wearing my $5.50 official 50th anniversary Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon shirt that I purchased at the greatest store of all time, Five Below.
That is impressive. I would like to go to Five Below myself. I am wearing just one of my mini shirts by the band Haunt. They put out a great, underloved record. Maybe we should do Haunt as a series someday in terms of a modern band. They put out a great album last year called Golden Arm on their own record label. Fantastic band.
Fair enough. Let us do a quick news check. Today I've got one news story. Metallica is calling Last Call on their Load and Reload submission. So what we learned from that email today is what Keithy and I have been expecting is not coming. What I have been manifesting is not coming. The Metallica box sets are the creme de la creme, the Mercedes-Benz at an escort price. It is the Cadillac of album box
sets. How do you know how much an escort charges? Heyo!
I meant a Ford Escort, you perv.
Sorry.
Sorry, I went to Vegas recently, so maybe I learned things. Anyway. Wait, you can't get escorts in Vegas. You got to go outside to like Reno. Oh, I know somebody that went to Reno. Anyway, it is the Metallica box sets are literally the Cadillac of album box sets, but they sell them at a, I don't know what a cheap car is anymore. A Honda Civic price. There we go. It's a Cadillac sedan DeVille, but they sell it for the same price as a Honda Civic. Unfortunately, what they are not doing is they are not doing the Live Shit Binge and Purge box set, which is what I have been manifesting, what I have been desiring. I love live records. As anybody who's been following this ridiculous podcast for a long time has seen me check live album after live album after li I mean, I have 8 Iron Maiden live records, and I am demanding another one, and then 4 more. And I wish they would have done this, but they are the next deluxe box sets are Load and Reload, as Keefe kind of hinted at. So if you have any pictures of photo stubs or photo stub, any photos, live photo shots, pictures of ticket stubs, all that kind of good business, you can now send those into Metallica and hopefully get your business on the box set. And that is my news.
I do hope we get a Binge and Purge re-release at some point. When my finances are better, I might consider going in on a DVD version of, I had the original, I don't have it anymore, the
I
original
still have it.
VHS. I wish I still
Mine
had it.
is up on the calyx.
Nice. Yep, I saw it. I think my thing is this. I think they didn't bring the Vinyl Club back yet. I think this is all because they are just selling 72 seasons hand over fist. I don't know the total numbers, but they're selling so much product between the tour, the pop-up shops, everything, the new album last year. I think they just are in production mode for that. And when they're not on tour in 2025, theoretically, I feel like we'll get some of these things that have been delayed.
I agree, and also I've got one more bit of news that I want to throw out there, and I'm just going to keep this. I'll keep this very quick. Taylor Swift, she released a bunch of records last year. She is the number one selling vinyl artist of 2023. Keefe, would you please care to guess how many vinyl records Tay Tay sold in 2023?
Between her re-released, re-recorded albums,
I believe there were 4 records released total.
I'm gonna guess like, are we talking about individual vinyls
Yeah,
pressed or total
individual,
albums sold?
no. So individual vinyl albums sold, not streaming, not CD, vinyl records. How many?
I don't even know the length of her track listings or albums. I'm gonna just guess like a wild fucking number. 8 million.
Wow, no, that would be amazing.
All right.
No. You way overshot. You
Oh,
like
okay.
went,
Well,
you
I
went.
just.
So I asked one of my coworkers this, and he went to like impulse speed, and Keefe goes plaid straight into ludicrous speed. Come on, honk if you know that reference. Meep, meep. And Keefe's wearing plaid, which makes it double better. No, she sold 2.5 million vinyl records.
It's not a shock because she is the Walmart of music. She's
Correct. There
everywhere. I
is
don't.
nothing wrong with her. I love her to death. What I love her most, I don't love her music. I love her. What I love the most about her is she's pissing off football dudes
Yes. This
who
is.
realize that
I
she is
watched.
more popular than football dudes.
I have watched a lot of football this last couple of weeks being laid up, and I'm gonna tell
Football.
you. Football. And I'm going to tell you, I don't even like the Chiefs that much. I like the coach. Quarterback's great. I don't care for the whatever.
We like
Like,
the Eagles.
no. I know you got Philly roots there with the wife and school. No. You are
Eagles.
my, do not know. No.
Eagles.
Guess what? They were broadly embarrassed out of football this
Yeah, I
playoffs.
know. I was watching that and I said, "Look, if the Eagles win today, you can go play football."
Yeah, no.
And they didn't win, so she didn't get to play football that day.
Oh, yeah, no. They went down, and
She
I
can go
think
play
they're on
football
the
today, but
down slope. I think
yeah,
they're
oh
gonna
yeah,
be
they're
they're gonna they might be hiring the Giants defensive
Hey,
coordinator who left it off.
the Eagles right now are literally in this are where the Blues were 2 years ago.
That's fair.
Still competitive, but on the downs.
How about my New York Rangers doing pretty good?
Yeah, I like that 4-0 loss they gave up to the Blues though.
They've had some bad
That's a good
losses,
one.
but
That's a
mo
good
for the
one.
most part, they've been on a killer streak this year.
The Blues have been lovely inconsistent, you know. What they said beginning of the year is they're not going to lose 3 games in a row, and they're not going to win 3 games in a row before the first of the year. They were wrong. They did both of those before the first of the year. And the Blues are 2 trades away from a full rebuild if they trade away. I think they should trade Buchnevich and Saad because I think they could get something for them because they're still very good serviceable player. Buchnevich is still in his prime and Saad is still very serviceable. I think they just need to trade those and start over, but that's besides the point. You got a new, but before we get into crazy amounts of hockey, drop your news. Let's do this because we got to get into Dolly.
I like the tracks that are the bonus tracks that were just released, by the way, more than the whole album. Two quick news things, and
Spoilers.
spoiler alert, two quick news things, and I promise they will be quick. Sharon Osbourne has been doing a speaking tour, like sort of comedy slash an evening with Sharon in the UK this week, and she, in her London show, revealed that she is in the planning stages of two farewell shows for Ozzy to play in his hometown of Birmingham, England.
The correct place.
I think so too. People are going to be mad. You know the tickets will be astronomical. I don't know even if I was
With the
hearing.
cost of two tickets, we'll be able to buy you an entire family from Birmingham. You can own them.
Maybe. We paid quite a bit of money for some Metallica tickets, right? So I'm sure it'll be
I
at
didn't.
least double that. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be double the highest, whatever the Metallica was for the average ticket. It'll be double that for the farewell Ozzy. I imagine we're talking about the O2 Arena.
Yeah, it'll be the farewell, the average Metallica price will be the lowest Ozzy farewell price. And you know what? Give the man his money. He deserves it.
I don't know that, like I had we'd been kicking this around, like, would you go see an Ozfest where Ozzy's the host and he's not performing, but he's cure like emceeing the show with the family? Like, that would be a novel. I don't want to see
If
him.
he could do that, he could sing though.
Yeah, but I saw the videos of Phil Collins in a chair, bro, with the last
Yeah,
Genesis
I
shows.
don't
I
want
don't
that.
want
I don't want
Ozzy in a
that.
chair. Ozzy needs to be able to run back and forth, do the little frog walk, hop up and down, throw the bucket of water on the crowd. If I can't have that, I don't want him back.
And show is
It
ours.
it's gonna hurt too much. Yeah, and moon the crowd. It's gonna hurt too much for me. I love Ozzy. I've seen him many times. I don't want him to go out with a whimper when his whole career was a bang. So there's that's one piece, and then this is just inherently interesting. This of the many things we could talk about, we haven't done this in a few weeks. This story just crossed the wire right as I went to do some stuff today before this pod, and so Infectious Grooves is doing some touring in 2024. In the past,
I just got a happy in my pants.
you just got a chub, it, half a stalk. I you
Like
just
two
Alanis
thirds.
Morissette kissed you on the cheek at the end of Dogma, and you got a stubby, a chubby stubby. Infectious Grooves a lot. Now I wasn't a fan of this a while back. Suicidal would do a show and then do like a mini Infectious Grooves set because it's Mike and Dean. And does it really matter who the rest of the band is if you have Mike and Dean?
Base.
Well, kind of. Well, I mean, like he always has good bass players, so. I don't love that. I want Infectious Grooves to be Infectious Grooves and get a whole show. And Suicidal, at this point, as a legend status band, needs to have a whole show. And we need to do a ST series since we did a DRI
True.
at some point. And so they're doing a brief tour in the spring, including the Byron Bay Mu Blues Festival in Australia. And they announced the lineup. They announced the show, and they announced the lineup of the band for that show for Infectious Grooves. So you have Mike Muir and Dean Pleasance from Suicidal, Robert Trujillo from Metallica on bass. He recently jammed with Suicidal when Suicidal did the one-off opening for the M72 in
He's done a
Arizona.
few times in the
He's
past 10 years,
hopped
but
on with them in Europe, and he'll hop on with them. He loves the band. He wrote all those songs. Most of it was him writing it on guitar and bass, by the way. Dean, though.
I still think that Infectious Grooves was his bass. You take out his bass, his
It's
sound,
not the
his
same.
style.
Yeah, not
Yeah.
the same. And it's because of him. It's because he helped him and Muir shared that love of funk music, of the beautiful West Coast funk. And that's where it comes
Also,
from.
Duncan and I did an episode on that in Departmental Antiquities. We did the
Oh,
plague that
the
makes your
plague to
booty
make your
move.
booty move? I love it. Sosipius Sula Menagic Jackson, the turd. Incredible.
I've been keeping guys out of
Incredible.
the tracks, out of the sessions. I mean, I haven't heard anything.
Here's
Sosipius, goddammit!
the kicker. Here's the kicker. Muir, Pleasance, Trujillo, rhythm guitar, Dave Kushner, former punk rocker, one time Infectious Groovy on rhythm guitar. Guess who's on the drums? For his first show since being fired from Slipknot, former glacially musical podcast subject and series band Slipknot. Jay Weinberg will play his first show on the drums since his last show with Slipknot with Infectious Grooves. It's not a band that I think can carry on because Suicidal's too busy, Robert's too busy. You could always get and they were going to get Brooks. Brooks was in there. Brooks Wackerman was the Infectious Grooves drummer and Suicidal drummer for a long time, and he's been basically the Avenged Sevenfold drummer since the mid-teens, and so he's too busy. And Avenged Sevenfold's doing a headline arena tour. He can't be there. He would be a natural. And they even said, like, we've been very lucky to have legend status drummers. Brooks Wackerman, Josh Fries. We've always had great drummers, and now we have Jay coming in. So I'm happy for Jay. I just wanted to point that out. You know, I think it's possible some of what has happened here is people are still angry at him, like, oh, Madball was mad at him and Laura Jane Grace was mad at him about quitting Against Me. Yo, that's over a decade ago. People grow up and they do change. And maybe he is a Nepo baby and he's spoiled and entitled. Maybe that's all true. But you know what? Calm down.
They're all Nepo babies. It's fine. Whatever. Move on. I apologize. I jumped in. Are you good? Give me a thumbs
good.
Up.
That's, good. That's the story, my friend.
All righty. Now, we have a particularly long record. We are about to review, for the first time, the only one in my collection, a 4LP studio record. In terms of 4LP legitimate releases that I own, Pink Floyd Pulse, David Gilmour, Live at Pompeii. I believe that's it. And, Megadeth Warheads on Foreheads, which is a greatest hits. And this, Dolly Parton Rockstar. Quick bit, why we are doing a Dolly Parton rock record. As anyone who's been listening knows, Dolly Parton, listening to this podcast knows, Dolly Parton was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, and she went, huh, that's dumb. I ain't done no rock records. I guess I better. Here we are. So now we have a 30-track rock record, 30 tracks. I'm going to point out, I own this on vinyl. Lawyer wife and I was asking her if she was interested. She was definitely interested. It was a $65 record, as I checked about 3 weeks ago on the podcast. And we were listening to the previews on Amazon, and I held my phone out to her. And I said, what do you think? And she swiped Buy It Now. So I am absolved. I am completely, completely absolved.
However. See, what you just did is you painted me into a corner because I'm fond of your wife. She's a lovely human being. And now I'm going to feel bad when I demolish this record with my analysis. But okay, fair.
Wow, spoiler alert. Let us begin at the beginning.
I'm not even spoiling it. I want to say something just really quick. Can I just jump in before we go whatever we're going to do? I love the idea of this record, right? Like, I love that Dolly tried to turn down the Rock Hall, and again, there's a lot of arguments about why. What is the Rock Hall? Why is there a country artist in it? Why are any country artists in it? Why are any rap and R&B artists in it? Gospel, whoever, blues. Dolly's a treasure and a national hero, and I don't say that lightly. She's wonderful, and the fact that she put this together, I don't know if people are aware of this, she's been married to her husband, Carl, for like 60 years, since she's a teenager, basically, and he was young as well, and he's a huge rock fan. So actually, she hears rock music, classic rock, all the time in her house. This is all her husband listens to. He doesn't even like country that much, except Dolly's records. That's what from her own mouth. We listen to classic rock 90% of the time around here, and when I have alone time, I put on other music. Wow. Because that's what Carl likes.
Hey, that's like my house. You know, I listen to the metal. I have Cannibal Corpse. I have I have Dusk. I have, you know, Slow. I have all the crazy metal. Lawyer wife gets a headache, like literal headaches and migraines from it. So I can't listen to it when she's around. I can't listen to it like I want to. There's a lot of classic rock, a lot of soft rock. Chicago, sadly, Journey, whom I'm going to see this year again. Hey, you live for your family. So, but let's begin at the beginning. Track one, Rockstar, writer Dolly Parton, featured artist Richie Sambora. This song, it's It basically sounds like it walked out of 1967. This is the kind of song that was written about when rock was new. Richie Sambora completely lights up the fretboard on this, burns it down. If he did not smash the guitar when this take was over, give it to me and I'll break it. I'll burn it. I'll give it to Jimi Hendrix at Monterey because that solo was on fire. Burn it down. Great track, even if it's kitschy and a little terrible.
I wouldn't say that I like this opening track. I know it's meant, like, I take it with a grain of salt. She wanted to make a rock record. Like, the pluses is, like, no one else could put this album together the way she did. You could not possibly get this many people. Tony Bennett passed away. You can't get this many people to duet with you on tracks like this. This a magnitude of star power we're about to reveal. Good track, not a great track. Lyrics I could do better with. Richie wrote a great song. Dolly sounds great. She sounds great through this whole album. 75,
Tracks,
76 years old, right?
yeah,
She's killing it vocally.
still gorgeous. Track two is World on Fire. Like this song, I don't like the In God We Trust business, but you know what? No featured artist. It's a song she wrote, it's a song she played. It's okay. It's okay.
Solid. Moving on.
Every Breath You Take, written by Gordon Sumner, which I believe is the correct name of Sting, guested by Sting. 10 out of 10, no notes.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I could not ever hear this song ever again because of Puff Daddy and Biggie Smalls, but like, whatever. It's fine. It's a great song. And
Yeah,
she did
fuck
a
those
great
guys.
job.
I got it all. I got the original on vinyl, and it sounds
Yeah.
wonderful.
I love the
All
police.
right, moving on. Kiwi's favorite track of the record, "Open Arms," written by Steve Perry and Jonathan Cain. Kiwi's favorite dudes, a guy that he wants to sandwich with.
George W. Bush's spiritual advisor's husband, Jonathan Cain,
Are you
crazy Christian
serious?
guy. Steve Perry sounds, let's just like, Steve Perry sounds amazing, by the way.
For like an 88 and 47-year-old dude, you know, a lot of people will talk about Paul Stanley in a defense mechanism, saying, "Oh, well, he's old. You can't sing well when you're old." Well, he sounded like a balloon exploding. Steve Perry sounds like an old guy singing like Steve Perry.
Steve Perry
Yes.
has also not been on tour for the last 30 years, and he's barely worked. So his voice should be, if he maintained it, it should be in great shape.
Yeah, you mean he? No, it's not in great shape. It's he, a tire in America has 32 pounds of pressure. Steve Perry's only got about 29 in the voice. He just doesn't. He's old. He doesn't have that push that he once had. However, he did not abuse his voice like Robert Plant, like David Coverdale. He can still sing in key. He can still sing in tune. He just can't push it. He just can't crush it like he used to. That is very different from people that can't hold a. That can't carry a tune in a bucket that had to retire. Moving on, next we get to one of the highlight tracks of the record, in my humble opinion, "Magic Man," written by the fabulous Wilson Sisters of Heart, guested by Ann Wilson and Howard Lisi. I don't know who the second gentleman is. I don't care, because Ann Wilson, 848 years old or wherever she is now, still amazing. Still crushing it, still killing it. And what pisses me off about the aforementioned Journey Def Leppard show, they have three rotating opening acts, and we get of all of them Cheap Trick, the band that plays St. Louis 7 times a year.
I
I don't
understand.
know, I
They're
don't
great,
know
though.
who put this to, they are great. However, I can see them whenever I want. I would much rather see Heart for the first time in 7 years, or Steve Miller before he dies. Dude is 80 and touring. Anyway, this track, amazing perfection, no notes.
Yeah, arguably the best song on the entire album. Howard Lisi was the longtime Heart lead guitarist, by the way, and he's a
Thank you.
member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Heart.
Fair enough. Anything else on this track?
None, no notes.
All
Arguably the
righty.
best song on the whole thing.
You know what? It is the best song. It's unfortunate because we're now going downhill. However, next track is "Long as I Can See the Light" by CCR, written by John Fogerty, guested by John Fogerty, and another artist that is still completely capable of bringing it, John Fogerty. I'm gonna say this much though, Mr. Fogs, Get in the fucking studio. I know you got a pencil. I'll give you something to write on. Get in the studio.
No, but it's like Kiss. Maybe nobody wants a new record from him.
We all want it.
Yeah, I don't know that. Sales don't necessarily justify it. His back catalog, you know, a couple of years ago, I don't know if you noticed the trend about 2 years ago, CCR classics started popping up in current movies. And he, at one point, he had like 100 billion streams of Rumble Through the Jungle because of...
Run Through the Jungle.
Whatever what movie that it was part of, whatever war... I think it was
Forrest
the... I'm not talking about then. I'm talking about the last 2 years.
Oh,
I think it was Jurassic World Dominion had that song in it, fittingly.
I have no desire to see any Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah, sorry to
next,
hear that.
Let's move on. Next track, either or. Go to fucking
Skip.
Hell. Skip. Next track.
May I, though? Fuck Please. Kid Rock. Thank you.
You know what? There is nothing better than somebody who has made his career on code switching, who has made his career on usurping another culture's music only to turn his back on the culture. Kid Rock, looking at you, kick you in the dick. Moving on to I Want You Back, written by Dolly Parton and somebody else, featuring Steven Tyler and Warren Hayes. And I'll tell you this, Warren Hayes does an amazing, amazing blues solo. The rest of the track is 100% forgettable.
Steven does not sound good on here. I think nope. He, you know, we were talking in our Kiss Roundtable over at Ghost Cult. Our good friend Peter Wilson of Four Trips Ahead said that maybe Paul had a vocal surgery and it went wrong. And I think Steven has had a few, and it didn't go well, clearly, because this is the first new thing I've heard from Steven in a long time. I don't listen to his... I didn't listen to his country album. I was like, no, thank you. I don't want any.
No one wants that. No one asked for that.
This is not good. Not good. No, I'm sorry that it's not good. I want to like it. Steven's kind of deplorable, but I wanted to like the track. Not good.
Not good. What has rock and roll ever done for you? Written by several people, including Stevie Nicks. Featuring Stevie Nicks and Waddy Wachtel. Waddy Wachtel is a guitar player. He was a session musician, played
Pretty
with
legendary.
A lot of awesome people. Yeah.
The Stevie Nicks joint, basically. It's one of the solo. Solo
good
thing.
Song. Good song. Not spectacular. The give and take at the end is better than the song.
I wonder if they couldn't get the rights to do like a Fleetwood Mac song, and that's why this is the song.
You can get the rights to cover anything if you want to.
It's money,
I think,
though.
Right. I think money. More likely what it was no, it's the same cost to cover anything. It's like a set fee. To that is the fee you pay them. However, then the publishing becomes, you got to pay the publishing. I think likely what it was is she said, Stevie, I'd love to do a song with you on my record. And I think Stevie Nicks is probably like, okay, well, it's got to be one of my songs, not a Fleetwood Mac song. That would be my guess. I don't know. It's just me. Because she is not touring with Fleetwood Mac. She is touring solo. That's my guess. And she's doing like stadiums with Billy Joel and shit.
Yes, she is.
Okay. Anything to say about this one? Anything else?
I was hoping for more.
Yeah, agreed.
I love Stevie, by the way, but I was just hoping for more.
Same. Next is Purple Rain. I don't need to tell you who did that. If you don't know who did Purple Rain, I might hate you. Unless you're under 15.
This hurts me a little. All right, so it's a good cover.
You didn't let me talk.
Sorry, go ahead.
We could just go ahead and
figured you were going to pass on this anyway. Go ahead.
We could go ahead and cut it and move on. Done.
I don't want to cut it and move on. Now I'm go have your say and then I'll have my say.
No, that was my say. We don't. This is not a version anyone needs.
She sounds good. The song is magical. I didn't need this. I love that she covered Prince. He's absolutely a rock star. He belongs on the worthy company of this entire thing. I don't need this cover, but she did a good job. It's not because of Dolly personally. I just don't think anyone should be covered.
She did a good job. It's a great
No one
song.
Can really cover Prince.
It doesn't
except
work. Just
the Revolution.
Work. Right. Yeah. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Moving on to Baby I Love Your Way by Mr. Peter Frampton. Guested with Mr. Peter Frampton. You know what? If you don't love this, if you can't sway along to this awkwardly on an amphitheater's lawn, I don't want to be your friend.
Well, it was really good this whole run was great, and I will miss you fondly, but unfortunately, this is where we part ways forever. I don't need this. I don't want this. I don't care about Peter Frampton.
No, I don't need this, but I like the song.
He was boring in the 70s. This is boring, middle-of-the-road shit for people who don't know what rock music is.
Frampton is rock music for the mayonnaise is spicy set.
Yes. Oh, a little pinch of garlic in my food is going to make me upset. Don't do it. Yeah.
You I mean, love look, he's
not,
Peter
I'm not
Frampton.
I'm not knocking him, but I don't need this. You know what I like Peter Frampton? In Almost Famous as his tour manager, Reg.
Oh
taking
my
care
God.
Of him, Reg.
Look, Peter Frampton is very
Penny.
Talented, very humble, really cool dude. However, his music is literally as it's got more. I'm going to quote the Mighty Boosh on this one. It's got as much edge as a Satsuma, which is a nectarine. So, moving on to the next track, I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett, featuring Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. The whole group is there. This track, 100%, 10 of 10. I'm sorry, I hit my button. 10 of 10, no notes. Thank you, ladies.
Yep, I concur. 10 of 10, probably the second best song on this entire thing. And this is the reason this album exists, so Dolly can sing with Joan Jett and other things.
Completely agree. Next track, Night Moves by the legend Bob Seger, joined by some jackass that I think was on American Idol. Could have been great, wasn't.
I have actually seen Chris Stapleton live. He's quite a good country and rock artist. Why couldn't you get Seger to be on this? Like, why isn't Seger on his own song? Night Moves
is
one of his top three songs ever. And, you know, solid job. And I get, like, there's a star power thing. She lives in Nashville. There are quite a bunch of country artists on here. One way or another, I'm sure.
But this is not a country record.
No, it's not. It's supposed to be a rock record. And get Bob on here. Get Bob on. What's Bob needs the money. Bob needs help. Chris is one of the biggest selling artists on tour right now.
If Bob had been on this track, instead of Chris Stapleton doing his best Bob Seger impression.
Honestly, a better song than Night Moves is We've Got Tonight, by the way. Which maybe
a better song than that is previous podcast subject. Turn the page.
Yes, of course.
Moving on to the next track, Wrecking Ball, written by a bunch of dudes, made famous by Ms. Miley Cyrus, an amazingly, extraordinarily talented young woman, who's still young, I think. Maybe she's in her 30s now. I don't know. I'm getting old, gonna die soon. And I did not like the original version of this song. It just didn't. I liked the meaning, the emotion, and all that business. This version of the song, for me, is definitive. These two have fleshed this out into something that is palatable to my palate. Love it. 8 of 10.
Yeah. I don't know if you know that, like, Dolly is Miley's hero as a singer. Obviously, they don't sound alike. And Miley, considering she made this song, is almost a decade. It's over a decade old, if I'm not mistaken. Almost a decade old.
Believe
and
so.
And she now sounds like the Predator voice. Like, have you seen the video of her? Like, she sounds like Fran Drescher turned the bass way up. And, but, you know, this is very good, actually. I enjoyed this, and that makes a lot of sense to me, like Miley. This track and another track coming up on side two I'll talk about is kind of a Dolly handing the baton, the torch, to the younger generation, and I dig it. Continue.
Sorry, I didn't hit the button right. I was reading the next track. I completely agree with everything Keepy just said. Next, we move on into I Can't Get No Satisfaction, featuring Pink and Brandi Carlile.
When did the record turn over? We've been out of practice.
Well, this is four records, so we're not doing that.
We're just going to do all the tracks. Okay.
It's too many. This is I Can't Get No Satisfaction by Keith and, you know, by the Rolling Stones, written by Mick and Keith. And that song is amazing. However, my favorite version of this song is not this one. It is not the Rolling Stones version. It still remains on brand Guitar Wolf, because they did it in a really thick Japanese accent, and it was funny.
That's fine. I was going to say this is that other track, Pink and Brandi Carlile singing with Dolly. OMG.
Look, I love that. However,
I want a rock record or a metal record from Pink so bad. And I'm going to tell you that Brandi was in the short discussion as a potential replacement for Chris Cornell of Soundgarden. I don't think they should do it, but she is such a huge fan. She has jammed with them. She has a covers EP with Soundgarden's remaining living members of Soundgarden covers. She has brought them on stage. Her band covers Soundgarden. She can rock, even though she's known as kind of a country Americana artist.
Just give me a number 1 through 10. How far away are we? How many years are we away from a Soundgarden Reformation tribute?
I think you could get another tribute concert. I don't think they will ever come back as Soundgarden. No.
Tour. I think they will because I think they know the money's there.
Well, who could do it? Like, who? If, outside of Brandi Carlile, who could do it?
Anybody could do it. I mean, I'm sorry. No.
You're not a fan. That's mean.
That was. Hey, let me talk. What I just said was exceedingly flippant, and I apologize. Is there someone that can do it? There is a dude from the Philippines singing just like Steve Perry in Journey. Yeah, somebody can do it. They'll be able to find somebody. It may not be a star, but they'll be able to find somebody. Well,
that's fair. Providing the person exists,
how many years away?
I love Jeff Gutt in STP. He's the best thing they've had beside Weiland.
Okay. I'm going to say 5.
I don't think so. They can't come back.
All right, fair enough. Moving on to Heart of Glass by Blondie.
No, I'm sorry.
Keep on Loving You, which is an REO Speedwagon crap fart hole with a REO Speedwagon fart hole singer. At least it's not REO Speedwagon. I don't know the name of the fucking song because I hate it, but the Legs Down to the Table song. Fuck REO Speedwagon.
You know the story about when Lars met James for the first time? And James had a bunch of tapes with him, and he was just like, yeah, whatever you got that's like, what was that, Witchfinder General? Tape over this REO Speedwagon tape.
Nice.
I don't think they were a great band. They have a couple of great hits. They're not a great band.
They have Riding the Storm
Toto
Out.
Toto is a great band.
They have Riding the Storm Out. You don't need any other songs by them.
You really don't need any songs by them. Now is Heart of Glass.
Heart of Glass. By Blondie, featuring Ms. Debbie Perry. I'm going to give the heart-shaped sign that my daughter insists I do. What did I say? It
said Debbie Perry, which I'm not going to take as an insult. It is not whatever.
She did the first rap rock tune.
Yeah, I'm aware.
With Fab Five Freddy. I'm aware. I just like saying that because that is the greatest little throwaway.
She didn't do the first rap rock song. She did the first top 40 rap song ever, which is a lot different. Because honestly, Sugar Hill Gang was a hit, but not. I gotta look this up. I don't think it's like a Billboard top one.
No. Anyway, moving on. We gotta pick this up. We are only halfway through, and technically we're ending in 10 minutes. All right. So, Heart of Glass. You know what? I'm not a big Blondie fan, but you know what? I'm not gonna lie. They got a couple of great songs. This is definitely one of them. Completely done with reverence, respect.
How good does Dolly sound on this? Like the vulnerability in her voice matching
Dolly
the vulnerability
of the lyrics.
Dolly
still sounds great.
Yeah. Moving on.
All right, moving on to Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John, Bernie Taupin, of course. Featuring Elton John. I am not a big Elton John fan. I like the songs I heard in Almost Famous. I mean, he's got some songs I like. Very faithful, quality version. It is what it is.
This song has been covered a ton, especially by George Michael, my beloved late George Michael, and Oletta Adams on the Elton John tribute album, covers album. So I didn't need this, but it's not bad.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on this one. Excuse me, a little stiffy. Stuffy, not stiffy. Moving on into Tried to Rock and Roll Me featuring the Queen, Melissa Etheridge. I saw Melissa Etheridge at the Sheldon Concert Hall because Neil Young had taken up the pageant down the street, literally where she would have played if Neil Young wasn't there. We were in a 500-seat theater, no standing room, all seats, and we got to see her on her blues record tour, and it was absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, I wish they would have played one of those songs from that record that she did, the blues record. It feels like Dolly trying to sound hip with Melissa Etheridge trying to sound hip, because frankly they're both old. But bad song? No. Okay song? Yeah. If it were on CD, wouldn't skip it.
I back that. But I don't like this track either. So.
Alrighty, moving on to, in case you wonder how much pull, the Queen, the Pharaoh, the Tsarina, Dolly Parton has. Can she pull Robert Plant from the abyss to sing Stairway to Heaven? Nope. Next track, Stairway to Heaven, featuring Lizzo, whom is an extraordinarily talented and wonderful human being. There's a song that she has that is on one of my wife's going out playlist. I don't know what it is. It's 6 o'clock. Yeah, it's thick 30. Oh yeah, I feel flirty. I mean, great track. She plays the flute. She got to play John Madison's crystal flute. However, this song, because of the twang, and I'm sorry, Lizzo, because you brought it. But this reminds me way too much of the Tim Wilson parody cover, Stairway to Heaven.
Lizzo goes in the trash with Steven Tyler in terms of a person. She's garbage, but she is talented. I will give her that. I don't need this cover. Any other Led Zeppelin cover would have been better than this song. We've been Stairway to Heaven to death. Dolly should know that. Should not try to cover Stairway to Heaven. Should cover any other Zeppelin song. Literally any other song. Actually, Battle of Evermore would have made a lot of sense.
No. Nancy Wilson. Finish that.
The Love Mongers. Whatever. I think.
No. I watched Heart play Battle of Evermore.
Yeah.
On their last tour. I cried. I wept. All right. Okay. No, but no, they own that now.
This song, and Lizzo is trash. That's my word.
All right, fair enough. Moving on to We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, written by, of course, Freddie and Brian. No guest stars on this one. Love the idea. Classic track. However, there's not enough in this track for anyone to make it their own. Don't need it.
Especially because I just saw the Queen Rock Montreal IMAX movie. And nice. Hopefully that comes out on vinyl, because that was a live album from the late 80s, early 90s. From the early 80s. It probably was on vinyl in the 80s, but it has never been. I bet it's going to be a record store.
Repressed.
Anything. Has not been repressed. It was the Game Tour. So sorry, it's 1980-81. And yeah, like, you can't do it better than they did. Maybe it would have been cool if she had Adam Lambert on it. That would have been fun. But okay.
No, that would feel weird. Moving on. Speaking of feeling weird, we're not there yet. Speaking of which, we are now into Bygones. Now, this track, this is the one everyone in this podcast would be waiting for. Featuring legends Rob Halford, John 5, Nikki 6. If only Rob Halford was Rob 4, that would have been fucking awesome. 4, 5, 6. Is there a 4? Is there a dude named 4? Probably not.
I think one of the guys from Power Man 5000 was like Mikey or something.
No. Fuck those guys. I'm sorry. I've seen them multiple times in multiple stages of life. They are not good.
Yeah.
And you know what else is not good? This song.
Aw, I like it. It's not great, but I love hearing Halford and Dolly sing it. And I'm going to tell you the lyrics were
10
really
of 10
good.
Concept, 4 of 10 execution.
Probably. But I thought the lyrics were really good, and I love hearing Rob on the track with Dolly. Could have been a better song. Would have been novel if they did a Priest cover. Would have made them a lot of money.
Would have made way more sense if they had done a good song rather than this one.
Yeah. She wanted to do an original heavy metal song, and she did pick good people to do it with. They just didn't execute. They didn't write it. They played it, right? So they didn't write it. They played it.
Correct.
So let's clarify that. It's not like they wrote a bad song and Dolly did it.
Right.
Dolly and her songwriting partner made the song, and they came into play on it.
They guessed it on a song. They did not write the song. Moving on to My Blue Tears, which is a Duran Duran track, Simon Le Bon, completely 100% forgettable.
Sad to say, a skip.
All right, fair enough. Moving on to Linda Perry's What's Up, which Linda Perry, of course, is one of the lead singer of Four Non-Blondes. You want to talk about a song that works perfectly on this record? Here we go. Nailed it. Perfection. Could have stopped right here.
Probably should have stopped the record here. I skipped this track entirely because Linda Perry is trash. Again, garbage human being. I wish bad things happened to her and only her in the world.
I wish I could have Those strong feelings. Anyway, moving on to You're No Good by Linda Ronstadt. Linda Ronstadt? However, Linda Ronstadt does not guest on this. However, we get Pat Benatar and her boyfriend, Neil Giraldo. Nothing wrong with them. However, this seems... I mean, it seems
No.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm looking at the wrong line. Yeah. Emmylou Harris and Cheryl.
Focus up. Crow. Focus up, sir. Focus up. I know you're in a rush. We got to still finish the pod. I'm in a rush.
A lot of stuff going on. Anyway, Cheryl Crow and
Emmylou
Harris.
Your team's
going
to lose tonight anyway.
Cheryl Crow, famous St. Louis and Cheryl Crow.
How about that?
Who does not talk about St. Louis?
Ever. Never, yeah, ever. I know.
Everyone else does. Come on. Open your mouth. Yeah. Nelly does. Nelly's written songs about it. Why isn't Nelly on here? I could take you on a tour of all the places that Nelly mentions on his first record.
If Dolly were to do a rap song, one rapper and Dolly, who would you pick?
Live or dead?
Live or dead, doesn't matter.
Eazy-E.
She wouldn't say that language. She's too Christian. But
I know. But wouldn't you want to hear Boys in the Hood?
I think
Linda Imagine Ritchie, Dolly Parton singing
Straight Outta Boys Compton.
Imagine Dolly Parton singing The Boys in the Hood Are Always Hard. You come talk on that trash, we'll pull your car.
Maybe.
Picture that. I mean, that is golden.
Yeah. I feel like Linda Ronstadt is actually retired from singing. I'm not sure about that.
All right, fair enough. You know what? It's weird on these tracks when they get somebody who's not from the band doing it, and I don't need this. Moving on to Bittersweet, the Doobie Brothers track featuring Michael McDonald. St. Louisan, Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers. I'm not a big fan of the Doobies. I don't need this. I'm sorry. The Doobie Brothers to me are a turd. And what does the butthead say? You can't polish a turd.
Oh my goodness, a turd. Doobie Brothers are going to fight. But I will say...
Look, completely talented. Amazing writers.
To quote Paul Rudd in the 40-year-old version, if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
I was hoping you were going to quote Paul Rudd from Wet Hot American Summer.
No. And if we have McDonald, again, if we have Michael McSlame, if we have Michael McDonald,
what?
Why don't we have Bob Seger again? Anyway, moving on.
We're finishing up side E, for the record, in case anybody cares. I Dreamed About Elvis. Bittersweet, Michael McDonald. That is not a Doobie Brothers tune. I apologize. That is a Dolly Parton tune. I Dreamed About Elvis, Dolly Parton song, which is, it seems like a spiritual cover to The Night Hank Williams Came to Town by Johnny Cash. That song was perfection and amazing, written by an artist at the beginning of his career, looking up to somebody at the end of his career. However, here we have some dudes, including an Elvis impersonator, impersonating Elvis. This song is bad.
Really bad. Should have skipped it. So many other great, Graceland, so many In the Ghetto, so many great songs that would have been on brand for Dolly to pick. And she chose none of that.
Yeah. She could have chosen Blue Suede Shoes. Anything. Any Elvis song. Hound Dog. I mean, Hound Dog isn't even Elvis. She could have given, some African-American songwriter some money.
Yes.
However, we did a fictional song about dreaming about Elvis.
There's a lack of multi-ethnicity on here. It's definitely got the alphabet, folks.
Where's Jimi Hendrix? Question, where's Jimi Hendrix? Where's Little Richard?
Not a lot of diversity on here other than...
You know what? I'm going to stop right there because we're going to do 2 minutes on what should have been. Next track, Let It Be. I mean, it's got Paul McCartney. It's got Ringo. So she couldn't get Led Zeppelin to show up. But what she can get is all the Beatles that are not dead.
I mean, like...
And Mick Fleetwood. And Peter Frampton and Mick Fleetwood.
Forget about... Yeah, like...
Wait, real quick. Before you start. Mick Fleetwood and Stevie Nicks are on this record and not on the same track.
Yeah, well, I think that makes sense. They don't.
Miracles are not real, apparently.
But Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr are singing Back Up to Dolly Parton on arguably one of the most famous Beatles songs of any stripe ever. This is insane. This is insane how good this is and how they're backing her up on it. Paul's song. Unbelievable. And again, I've been on a Beatles thing since the last track came out last year. So anyway,
great I'm stuff. No Beatles honk, but this is a 10 out of 10. Thank you. Moving on to, and what song, what classic rock song can you end a 30 song set with? There's only one. We all know what it is. So.
Freebird!
Who does
play
she get?
Play Freebird!
She did. Who does she get to play Freebird with her? All of What Passes for Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Artemis Pyle Band.
Which is a little weird. I'm sure there might have been some legal shit about that.
Gonna point out real
Artemis
quick.
And them.
Gonna point out real quick. Nobody on this track in either band played on the studio recording of this track. They're all dead. Artemis Pyle joined in the third record.
Fair enough.
However, thank you. You want to talk about just a classic song. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Lynyrd Skynyrd tracks in the right hands are country, and in the wrong hands are rock, and in the perfect hands are southern rock. So It is the perfect straddling of a line, and it is the perfect song for her to end on. And you know what? 10 out of 10, perfection.
I know this is going to rankle you, but you're going to give me one more minute to free ball for a second. So
to free ball or to free bird?
Free bird on the free ball. The other day, as we record this toward the end of January, on January 19th, a digital surprise release of the deluxe edition of this album hit streaming. And so you have additional songs that were not on the vinyl. OMG, we're going to talk about it really quick right now. Two Tickets to Paradise, written by Eddie Money, rest in peace, just died.
No, thank you.
Jolene, Dolly Parton, and Maneskin, the band who won the whatever.
Eurovision,
yep. There's some debate on whether they're even a good band or they're an industry plant or whatever.
It's Eurovision, I don't care.
Jolene is the quintessential Dolly song. There's no arguing.
She wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You
in five
in the
minutes,
same afternoon.
In the same span of, between naps. Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar.
And Pat Benatar is on this. Is she not, or did I dream that?
I think she's on this also, but it's not on the Wikipedia.
Not here.
But it's on this.
Yeah, she's on Heartbreaker.
Two other.
Oh, that's a Pat Benatar too.
Two other tracks, Mama Never Said and Rocket Originals, re-released, one's live.
Eh.
And then Rocky Top, which is also like an anthem of country music, right?
Motherfuck that song.
Oh. Is that
not
the Tennessee?
Her version? I haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's the Tennessee like home state song.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate that song. Rocky, I want to burn. I will go straight up book burner on that one.
But wait, there's more. Because there's more. There's another edition that has Bridge Over Troubled Water, Deep Cut Billy Joel, The Entertainer from the 70s, which is dope, and her cover of the Eurythmics. Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. I wish he had done like the Marilyn Manson version. I know that's a bad thing to say.
We don't need any more covers of that track.
Well, she did one and it's actually pretty good. And what she did was a couple of these start out like a quiet piano version and then go into the classic sounding part of the track. But look up the Sweet Dreams, the Billy Joel, and the Two Tickets to Paradise. I think those are really great and
all
should
right.
have been on the main album.
I'm getting text messages saying, when are you going to be done?
Yeah.
So let's do, if there was one song you would have liked her to have done, not like instead of, but like one song that you could hear her doing, what would it have been?
Castles Made of Sand, since you mentioned Jimi Hendrix.
Great track. I'm going to stick with what I said earlier. I would love a Dolly Parton Tutti Frutti. I think that would have been, because, you know, you could have easily had Little Richard guesting on that. He's not dead, right?
I think he died.
Oh, not sure. Okay. Well, you know what? Great Balls of Fire. Johnny, what's his nuts? Pedophile is not dead, right? Jerry Lee Lewis?
He's also dead.
Is he dead? Wow. Holy crap. Apparently, if you were a rock star in the 50s, you're likely dead now. That's messed up. Also, could have done Light My Fire with Robbie Krieger playing on it. That would have been a good one as well.
Little Richard died in 2020, by the way. Rest in power.
Well, that checks out. All right, I'm going to say on a scale of 1 to 10 on this record, 10 being perfection, 1 being abject garbaggio, I'm going to call it a good 8.5 because the highs are super high and the lows are never offensively bad. The low it's got it's like 85-15 killer filler. There's no chiller on this record. So I will say we do not need a 2.5 hour studio record. I understand why it exists because there's plenty of great music that's on this. I mean, you could have easily, you've probably got about 2 hours of really good music here. Don't need 2 hours, but that's, I'm sticking with. That's why I'm
shaking my head at you, sir. This should have been one album, 10 songs, one side of a vinyl or whatever, one vinyl. Mm-hmm. I don't need most of this. She's wonderful. On paper, I love it. And I would welcome another one from her. Of originals that are written by rock writers, not her team.
That's what I was hoping we were going to get to, be honest.
But no, we're not. And listen, Dolly's a freaking treasure. She sure, along with everybody else that's in the Rock Hall that doesn't belong or is arguably not rock, whatever, she certainly belongs. She's one of the greatest artists ever to live. We're lucky we lived in her time. Jerry Lee Lewis died last couple months ago, by the way.
Oh, fair enough. Well, so he could have been. So he could have been on the
record. I was hanging out with you during the funeral, so that's when he died.
So he could have been on the record.
He could have been on the record, maybe.
Whose turn is it to take us out? Because I have got.
I don't remember. I guess me.
All right, you do it then.
You have been listening to the Glacially Musical Podcast. I am your returning co-host, Keefe, at Ghost Cult Mag, at Ghost Cult Keefe, everywhere. You find the finer things in social media. You know your host, Glacially Musical, at Glacially _ Musical in some places. Nick _ No _ the letter C in other places. You know, it has been my distinct pleasure to be back. I did miss this a lot. And I hope my health keeps up and we keep getting to do this. So that being said, you've been listening to the Glacially Musical Podcast. It does not play in Peoria, but without a doubt, Dolly has somehow, some way played a concert in Peoria at least once.
Thanks, Dolly.